This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and join me each week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual shop tour. Hey, take the automotive trivia challenge, catch up on our weekly content, and as always, know that you'll learn just one thing. Hey, the video version of the show is on my YouTube channel and the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz. We have a great show planned for you today. My guest host is with me, Alan Beach from Beach Consulting. Hello, Alan.
Great to be with you, Carm.
Oh, thank you, man. Alan and I did a great episode a while back. In fact, John or Alan, it was August of 2020, that long ago now. And it was me and you and John DeJulius. And I have to tell you, one of my most favoriteest books ever is Customer Service Revolution. John's a great author, smart author, well-read, top 10 author. I so appreciate you helping grab John DeJulius. Also with us for our great shop tour is Greg Bednar from Greg's Champion Auto in Mankato, Minnesota. Hello, Greg.
Mankato.
I said Mankato. It's Mankato, as in Cato. Okay, got it. Hey, good to have you here. That sounds like an Indian name, Mankato.
It is. Yep. It's Manawatan Sioux.
Hey, we're coming to you from the Dorman OE Fix Studio. Always great information coming from Dorman. So, guys, how's business, Greg?
Really busy. And in our pre-show comments, Alan, you said that your clients have been never busier, and I have to echo that. We hit pretty hard late 2020 from the pandemic, started coming out of that towards the end of the year, and right now we're booked up 2 weeks out, and we're slammed right now, have been for about the last 3 months.
Well, I'm hearing the same thing, that it's we've never been busier. I think what happened was is we brought some new practices in, and we slowed the process down. And when you slow the process down, the work order becomes larger. You know, we did things like remote cash pickup. All these things that are part of slowing the process down are just paying huge dividends.
Yep. It's amazing, Greg, to hear you how far out you're booked. It's mind-blowing. But if you go back 15, 18 months, was it the same for you, Greg?
No. Maybe a week, and in some cases a few days. But it seemed like there was this pent-up demand. I mean, nobody was traveling. Nobody was driving to work. Nobody was going on vacation. So the car just sat. Now everybody wants to get out and get busy. Minnesota's pretty much wide open right now, 70% vaccinated. So everybody's mobile again. And, of course, the car has to be repaired.
Yeah. Good. Thank you guys for giving us the pulse of what's going on in your world.
The aftermarket is filled with companies that make replacement parts, but few invest in design, engineering, manufacturing, programming, and testing like Dorman. They are home to hundreds of mechanical, electrical, and manufacturing engineers spread out all across the globe who ensure every part that is produced meets rigorous industry standards for performance. To do this, Dorman utilizes cutting-edge technology and equipment to test fit, form, and functionality of all their parts. Some of these tests include rapid prototyping 3D models for fitment checks, tolerance testing on both mechanical and electronic components through salt, fog, and thermal heat and pressure testing. Dorman drives their dedication to their engineering by including their in-house programmers who write and test new software solutions. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman invests in these OE innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. Hey, to learn more about Dorman's engineering process, visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Boy, I had such a great, great tour at Dorman. Maybe it's going back a month and a half now. And so much of what you saw in the video, I had a chance to see some excellent people. Hey, trivia question for today, guys. Put your thinking cap on. And since you're a car man, Greg, the Pontiac Tempest transformed to be what model? Today, Barry Barrett went out. Entrepreneurial Operating System Part 6. It's all about process. Smart episode, short episode, to the point. It's Part 6. It has been a phenomenal, phenomenal series with me and Barry. I thank Barry so much. So, Alan, let's get into the juice here. I know that you are passionate about talking about a new KPI that you're concentrating on.
I want to talk about DVIs for just a moment. I love DVIs, and you know, it transformed so many shops, and we've had DVIs for probably 8 to 10 years. And I know that when I put it into my shop, when I was a shop owner, I saw about a 25% increase in average RO, which was huge. And I think it's time to take the next step. And one thing we've been watching lately is we've always watched how many DVIs get sent. So you compare it to the number of repair orders to the number of DVIs sent. That's huge.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing about it is, how about if those DVIs aren't opened? Then it's a waste of time. The technician's done the great inspection. He's taken all the photos. We've got everything proper. It's been edited. But how about if the client doesn't open the DVI? Then it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's completely wasted all this time. And what I'm finding is, in my best shops that I coach, the open rate is as low as 25% and at the best, about 40%. And I think it's time to start intervening to make sure that the clients are opening the DVI. Okay,
let me stop you for a moment. Frustration in all of us that communicate with people through email. It is, you're right. People aren't paying attention to email. It's really a shame because it really did drive our world, right? It drove our world for so long. And now it's text, and we have to figure out how to break through via a text, because the texts have, what, 90% type open rate. Can't we send our DVI, Alan, through text?
So that's the issue. All my clients are sending them via text. But when they appear on the screen, sometimes clients don't know what it is. So we have to prep the client at the time when the client is in front of us and show them what it's going to look like on their device. You know, take a device and say, this is what it's going to look like when it appears on your device. And know that that's from me. And you can open it, and you can open it safely.
Well, I think your message right here is one of communication.
Absolutely.
If we are, and Greg, chime in anytime. If we're just, thanks, we'll send you some information shortly, but we don't say, listen, it's going to be in the form of an email. Please watch your email. It's going to be in the form of a text. Please watch your text. This is what it's going to look like. We are communicating. We're communicating, but we're not getting through.
Right. No, so same way with us. When we get ready to send one, we get their permission, whether it's by email or text, but we give them a heads up that you're going to be getting an inspection from us. It's going to come in either email or text or both. They can opt for that too. And so what we ask them is, do I have the right number here? Do I have the correct address? They're primed thinking, oh, I'm going to get something from these guys. And then we say, after you've reviewed it in 20 minutes, I'm going to call you, and we're going to go through that together. So then they kind of know, like, feel like they're on the hook then to look at that.
So are you in agreement with what Alan is saying about a 25 or the best 40% open on email?
Yeah, for sure. On email, for certain. Text, I think, has a better response. You know, people respond to text messages, all kinds of studies about how quickly people pull up their phone and look at that. The key is getting their head.
What are you sending, text or emails?
Either or both.
Okay.
The preponderance of them are text. I'm going to guess 90-95%.
And it goes to that permission marketing thing. Can we send you a text to your mobile device if you get, and if it's a checkbox, or if at least it's a verbal confirm? They know that something's coming to them.
That's right.
We seem to be paying. You know, we look at our phones all the time. We look every 4 seconds. We look to see if somebody's talking to us, but we don't look to see if there's an email. Why? Because there's more junk email than ever.
Yeah, email is kind of the red-haired stepchild anymore. Now it's text that you want to get in front of them, and people are prone to look at that.
The other thing on it is they may get it, and they may click on it, but they don't understand what they're getting, and they don't understand how to navigate through this inspection. And one of the things that I think should be done is the advisor should have a sample inspection on his phone to be able to just take a moment to that first-time client and just quickly go through and hit the high-line points of what an inspection is all about.
That's good.
That's a great point. If you want to ensure that all the work that you did for this client from a DVI perspective,
exactly,
and all the photos you took, and the fact that you're there to really build reliability in a vehicle and safety. I mean, that's your job. That's your role. You know, you're in the relationship business. How would you not want to explain in detail what kind of experience they're about ready to have, even though they're not here?
Right. And if they're repeat customers, they're kind of primed for that anyway. In fact, we've had so many comments about, I can't wait to get your inspection because I see what's happening with my car that I never crawl underneath my car. It's the new people that need to be really coached. You know, you need to watch for this.
Hey, I figured it out. I know exactly what to say to a new customer. Hey, new customer, have you ever gotten a digital vehicle inspection sent to you from any shop that you did business with? Mm-hmm. An in-depth report of pictures and exactly what we found and what's good for your vehicle? No. Oh, well, great. When we text or email you within, say, an hour, and you look at this thing, show it to your friends at work because they probably have never seen anything this cool.
Yep.
And you are going to be a member of the Cool Kids Club. That's the ticket right there. I love it. Oh, thank you so much for bringing this to us, Alan. And I know there's KPIs of how many photos we, to take and if not, but good stuff. Thank you all so much for that. Okay, Greg. Well, we're getting your video ready at our end. I think we do it. There it is. And thank you so much for pre-recording this for us. I haven't seen this yet. I'm so looking forward to it. The show is yours, my friend.
Okay. Well, this is the front entrance, of course. We have a fairly large lot out there, and we have Wi-Fi extenders in that lobby through that glass there, and you can see how busy we are. We also service some classics too. We've got a number of classics. In fact, we have a 1970 Challenger in here today getting some work done. There's a Wi-Fi extender out there, so we can actually go out in the parking lot and with our tablets for our DVIs and do something right out in the lot. You step through the door here now, and that's our newly remodeled, well, as of about 6 years ago, customer waiting area. There's the refreshment bar, guest bathroom straight ahead there. I hired a consultant, an interior designer, to help me with the remodel. My goal was to make it feel like home because 60% of our customers now are ladies, and she hit it out of the park. It looks like a living room, and lots of leather seating, lots of reading material over there. Probably 60, 70% of that is women-oriented periodicals.
Can I ask a quick question, Greg? I'm sorry, but if we could stop the video for just a moment. I'm curious, did you keep all the furniture in play during COVID? Did you put X's on it? Or did you just rely on your customer to realize they had to do social distancing?
Well, our requirement was one person per settee, so we could only have three in our lobby at a time.
Okay.
We were only shuttling one person at a time, had to be masked and had to sit in the back. So we maintained our shuttle during that, but there was, distancing there. But yeah, and most people, and we really work hard to not have waiters. So we didn't have a lot of people to begin with, and certainly not during that period either.
Got it. Good. Thank you.
There's our reception area. Those are actually check-in desks from a beauty supply place in Atlanta. They're backlit with LEDs, digital menu board up there, kind of the mainstay stuff. We've got dual screens at the service advisor positions. We are a Mitchell 1/AutoVitals shop, so we do everything through that.
Okay.
Dry stack wall there. Here we're coming back to the administrative area. That's my office right there. That's where I'm seated right now. And my accountant right there, bookkeeper. Lots of automobile-related photos and so forth. I'm a drag race nut, so everything's about drag racing.
Drag racing. How cool is that?
This is going now into the back. So here's the paperwork front-to-back transfer point. So technician paperwork in and out. LOF sticker box right there. Staff bathroom. And this is the insane asylum. This is where we turn the wrenches. This is the back. There's Mike. He's my most recent hire. Those are all brand new Challenger hoists. Replaced all those last year. The technicians were not comfortable working under what we had in here before, so I undertook to replace every one of them. It's a very large, airy shop, set up like a dealership. There's no exhaust tubes to pump any exhaust outside. We have a common CO, carbon monoxide management system that works really, really efficiently. We just air conditioned this space too. You can see them hanging in the ceiling up there.
Yeah, I see that. Very, very nice. It's got a lean atmosphere. Everything has its place. Everything is defined as to where it lives.
Right. Exactly. And that air conditioning was just such a hit this year. It's been very hot in Minnesota this year already. And the days we shut the doors and turn those on, productivity stays high.
So, Greg, let me ask you a question. What will it cost you for the year to air condition the place? Forget about the investment, but is it going to cost $1,000?
No, my rule is we don't turn it on until the feels like temperature is 85 or higher.
All right.
So we leave the doors open. It might be a little bit muggy, but I'm not going to turn them on. It's when I'm afraid that productivity is going to start to nosedive. That's okay. When we turn them on. And I think our utility bill is going to go up about $150 a month. So chemicals and so forth, we're a BP shop, so all of our BP supplies here. This is the LOF station right there. There's Isaiah cleaning up. Then we go, I told you, I blew a hole in the wall, went into the next space. We moved into this suite here, built a break room for everybody, locker room in the back so that uniforms in and out, guys have a place to put their street clothes.
Do you own or rent?
I rent.
Okay.
Yeah, but I own the building, so I'm renting to myself.
Okay.
This was staff bathroom. We walked through there. This is the next. There's one of my shop hands, Bob. We do tires. I don't sell tires anymore, but we do tire repair and for our customers.
You don't do tires anymore.
No, I couldn't compete with the box stores anymore. So
all right, okay.
We just do it as a, as a repair, patch and bead leaks and so forth. There's that 70 Chally. Upstairs is a mezzanine. That is for document storage and the like. We keep our seasonal stuff up here too, Christmas and Halloween and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand that I worked very hard to build. So this logo that you see here up front has a different look for the service advisors than the technicians. And that's
why does it have a different look?
I just wanted to make a distinction between the technicians and the service advisors.
Is it in color? The colors are different?
Yeah. So the service advisors wear this khaki and black slacks, and the technicians wear black and red uniforms. I pointed out our new air compressor box back there. We enclosed it and filled it with rock wool. And then I pumped cool air into it from outside, and it's silent. The guys love that.
That's what I have in my studio, Rockwool.
Yeah, it's very quiet.
Yeah.
And back to the front.
11 bays.
Yeah, that's one on the floor, and then I think we have 9 with hoist. So
the beauty of Greg, and I had found this out during our pre-discussion, was he wasn't a technician. And I love stories like that. He was, of course, a drag racer, so you knew what it was all about. But you bought this place from a parts store and turned it into a service shop.
It was a hybrid parts store. It had 3 bays where they did some repair work in that. And then when it was bought out, and when the parts side was bought out, the people who purchased it didn't do repair. And so the owner at the time moved and continued to build on that repair business, and that's where I picked it up.
Wow, wonderful stuff. Thank you. Alan, any questions or comments?
Can you tell me more about your carbon monoxide dealing system?
So we have a CO monitor, a sniffer that sits so many feet off the floor, and it has to be calibrated once a year. And when the doors are shut, especially during winter months here, it gets so nasty. Cars just run. You just start up right where you are. But the sniffer detects the presence of carbon monoxide. And once it gets to a certain level, very low, very, very low, then it kicks on an exhaust system that sucks it off the floor and out the ceiling, out the roof, and opens a shuttered fresh air intake across the shop and brings in fresh air intake. So it circulates it through and our CO stays very, very low.
Was that there when you bought it?
Mm-hmm. The space I grew into that you saw there, that's beyond the reach of that. So that does have your standard hose on the tailpipe out the door set up with an exhaust blower to accelerate it outside. But that's the only spot for it.
Thank you so much for this. It was great. Greg Bednar, appreciate that. Let's finish up the show here with our trivia. The Pontiac Tempest transformed to be what model? You must know this one, right, Greg?
I think I do, but I'm not going to say.
All right. Next slide. It would be the Le Mans. That's a 69, by the way. The Pontiac Tempest went by this name for 9 years before taking on the new name Le Mans. Now, the Tempest line was changed to an intermediate-sized car on the new GMA platform in 64. The Le Mans was its own separate model like it was in 63. Really an interesting evolution of this vehicle. For 1964, a two-door hardtop was added. A new 215 cubic inch inline six was introduced, as well as a redesigned 326 V8. Now, shortly after the start of the 64 model year, the Le Mans became available with a new performance package designed as the GTO. And everyone knows that GTO stands for Gran Turismo Omologato. Yes, the GTO option included a 389 V8 full size from the full size Pontiac line. And those guys were the days. Those guys were the days. Tempest, Le Mans. Tempest, Le Mans. Next week, Russ Crosby is going to be with us from Russ's Wrench in Clinton, New Jersey. And Tom Palermo, Preferred Automotive Specialties, Philadelphia. It is a fleet specialist in right inside the good old city of Philadelphia. That's going to be really great. Hey, guys, terrific having you. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot of things, too. Alan Beach from Beach Consulting. Appreciate that. Up in the great White North up in Canada. Thank you so much for being here. And Greg Bednar from Greg's Champion Auto in Mankato. I said that right, Minnesota.
Yes, you did.
Hey, guys, terrific. Thank you so much for making us just a wonderful show. A lot of great insights, instructional, educational, and informative. Have a great week.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.